Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still so excited because tonight we will be continuing our study from the book of Romans. Now, the study will provide how Paul instructs the Romans without leniency. The Romans received a stern message from Paul, very academic, I might say. Paul delineated the ways of godliness through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to remind you that all lessons and instructions are taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. And I highly suggest, as I always do, so boredom does not come into play, meaning that you are just listening and not taking part, that you have your Bible sources open, your devices or laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pen and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, about every 10 minutes or so, we will break for questions and answers, comments, or inquiries, if you have any. And again, before we get started, I need and must thank you personally for those who have taken time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you. Okay. As our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. So the promise is that you will be fishers of men if you follow Jesus. Jesus said, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. So the promise again. If you do not want to be judged or condemned and be forgiven, then you must do likewise towards all of your fellow men. Jesus again said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Mark chapter 3, verse 25. So the promise, if you want to stand, your house cannot be divided. The question to you again, my precious brothers and sisters, are you standing on God's promises? Now, to the study. We are again going to be reading from the book of Romans. We're going to be reading Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 17, and verse 19. And we are going to use this text to glean from it the instructions of the text. And again, it's Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 17, and verse 19. And this is the question. Significant, my brothers and sisters. Please listen carefully and pay attention as we read the text. The question is, sin entered into the world causing death. That's the instruction that we want to focus on as we read Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 17 and 19. And this is what the text says. Wherefore, as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world by sin. So death passed unto all men, because it was a heritage from Adam, for that all have sinned. Verse 13 says, For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Again, sin was there before the law came into existence in the book of Exodus. Verse 14 says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So even though the law had not been instituted yet by Moses or through Moses, there death still reigned. And verse 15 says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And to conclude with verse 19, it says, for as by one man disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So we can see that sin was in the world in the beginning. And now what we're going to do is go to our complement, and it's going to be the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And it's going to give us exactly what or why or when centered into the world. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And this is what it says. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou dost thereof thou shalt surely die. So therein is the connection. God told Adam that he could not eat of that fruit, that when he does, he would surely die. And that's when sin entered into play. Now, this is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives. Sin is the number one enemy of mankind. Not Satan, it is sin. But Jesus Christ has saved us from sin. So now, who is number one? Now, number one is that tree that Adam ate from, the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so that is what this means. Now, if you have any questions or comments, if you're in the chat room, you can give them to the host and he'll get them to me. If not, you can text it or email. We're going to now go to the next instruction. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 10. We're going to read verse 14 and also verse 23. So before the break starts, mark your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 10.
Here's the break.
Love, the most beautiful thing in the world that you and I look for is love. I mean, you've heard the joke, haven't you? What do you get when you hear a country music song playing backwards? Well, you get your pickup truck back, you get your house back, you get this back, you get that back. All of country music is on love and it's on romance. My wife and I have been married for 47 years. Yeah. I know I don't look it, I just look 25 or something like that. But you know what? I'll never forget the day I met her. She was 16. I was 20. I just come from India. She was from Canada. And when I looked at her, I wasn't listening much to the sermon that day. I was looking at her across, and I thought, that's the one I want to meet. And strangely enough, she thought the same thing. And now, after 47 years, in fact, coming up in 2-3 months, will be 48, as Margie and I have been wed, I want to tell you two things about love. It's hard work. It's hard work. You see, when you put the ring on that finger, it is a tourniquet to stop your circulation. When you say yes to her, you're really saying no to everyone else. Do you realize it's the greatest compliment you pay a human being when you take them at their word when they say, I do? Do you realize that? Young people, let me tell you something. G.K. Chesterton put it this way: free love is a black and white contradiction in two words. Love was never intended to be free. It is the nature of love to bind itself. It is the nature of love to bind itself. And the consummate expression is the most sacred expression of all physically, which actually represents the spiritual consummation of two people saying, I do. C.S. Lewis says there are four kinds of love: agape love, the love of God; storge love, parental love, which is protection; phileo, which is brotherly love or friendship love; eros, which is romantic love. Agape, storge, phileo, eros. And the other three have no point of reference without the first. They have no point of reference without the first. You cannot really define love until you understand the one who has created you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You cannot love without giving. And God gave to us the most precious gift of all in his Son. Love cannot be defined apart from God. And if our culture is messed up, it's messed up right here. We have no longer a definition or a point of reference for love. You love your car, you love your house, you love your dog, you love blue, you love Italian food, you love Indian food, you love your wife. Same word. Not so for the Greeks. They had agape, storge, phileo, eros, and the last three hung on the peg of the first. And if you are living with a broken heart today because of a broken love, you probably had that love broken because somebody didn't hang love on the peg of the eternal love of God himself.
Back to our program. Here's
our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete. Welcome back.
Okay, here we go. We're in on the instruction number 9. We have 30 total in this study. And I already gave you the text, Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 10, verse 14 and verse 23. Now, this is the instruction that we will draw from the text that we read. Sin should not have dominion over you. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Sin should not have dominion over you. And this is what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 10. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth, he live unto God. And now we're going to go to verse 14, and it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. In verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus the Christ. So that is the only way, my brothers and sisters, that sin does not have dominion over you is through Jesus Christ. Now, what we're going to do now is go to our complement text, Old Testament. We're going back to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 22 through 24. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. And this is what our complement says about this dominion over sin through Jesus Christ. It says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So God is saying that man knows about sin. So if he grabs hold of the tree of life, which is Jesus Christ, then he'll live forever in sin. This is what verse 23 says. Therefore, the Lord God sent forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. He sent man forth. And he concludes, so he drove man out of the garden, and he placed at the east gates of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So this is what happened when we inherited the sin, when it came into the world. And we had to wait, or the world had to wait, until the Messiah came in order to free man from sin. And we know that Jesus died for sin. So this is what the instructions mean spiritually in our lives. It means that sin doesn't have dominion over us, but the knowledge of good and evil does. That is what took over the number one spot of sin. Christ died for our sins. But he did not die for the workings of our sins, which we're going to learn about in a minute. And that is where we still have crisis. If you have any questions, get them to me. We're going to go now to the 10th instruction. We're going back to the book of Romans. We're going to be reading from Romans chapter 7, verse 5, and then we're going to read verse 14 through 25. This is what we're going to be reading about. The workings of sin is our culprit. Remember, I just mentioned that sin does not have any more dominion over us, but the workings of sin does. And this is what Romans chapter 7, verse 5 says, and then we're going to go to Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25. This is what the text says. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruits of death. So without Jesus Christ, there is death. physically and spiritually. And this is what Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25 says. For we know that the law is spiritual, but we are carnal, sold under sin. Jesus is the one that is redeemed us from that sin. For that which I do, which is sin, I allow not. For what I would, that is holy, that I do I not. But what I hate, that I do, which is sin. For if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the flesh has been condemned. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So even though we have free will, my precious brothers and sisters, it is limited. We find not how to exercise it. Verse 19 says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, meaning thou shalt not, that when I would do good, evil is present with me, and that shows me sin. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That is the dilemma unto Jesus Christ. And this is how Paul concludes in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So that is what happened. When Jesus redeemed us, he redeemed the soul from destruction. He didn't redeem the flesh from destruction. And that's the difference. Now we're going to go to our compliment, and we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, and that's going to explain about the workings of sin. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, this is what the compliment does. This connects the dot. Even though we're going backwards, we're going from the New Testament to the Old Testament, but this is what Solomon said to all of Israel. Solomon said, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 through 14, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. Why? For God shall bring every work, the workings of sin, every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we're going to be held accountable for every work that we do, even though sin is no longer impacting us as far as death is concerned. Now we're going to look at what this instruction means spiritually in our lives. This is what it means, that we will be held accountable for the workings of our sins at judgment. And we know if we go to Revelations chapter 20, I believe, it tells us that at judgment, we will be held accountable for all of the works of the body, done in the body. Okay, now we're going to go to the next instruction, instruction in number 11. And this is what we're going to use as our text, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, 2, and verse 5 through 8. That is the text we're looking at, Romans chapter 8. Verse 1, and after the break.
Our lives are shaped by those that love us, and our lives are shaped by those that refuse to love us. The sweetest music that reaches to the highest heaven is the beating of two hearts that truly love each other. To love abundantly is to live abundantly, and to love forever is to live forever. Love is the doorway through which the human soul passes from selfishness to service, love does that. The three most profound words in human speech is God is love. The Bible says it's beyond human comprehension. Love is more than the characteristic of God. God is love. He does not try to love you. He cannot help but love you because that's what He is. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is love. It is a concert that surpasses the knowledge of men. No man can adequately describe it. No man can adequately understand it, because the Bible says it surpasses knowledge. There are three kinds of love. Which kind do you have? There's the if kind of love. If you do this, I'll love you. If you succeed, I'll love you. If you come up to my expectations, I'll love you. The because kind of love. I love you because you're intelligent. I love you because you have money. I love you because you're beautiful and you're handsome. And then there's the in spite of kind of love, God's love. I love you in spite of your failures. I love you in spite of your miserable past. I love you in spite of your weaknesses and your faults. God's love, I loved you, faults, failures, and all. When God saw you through the eyes of love, He was looking at your potential. He was not looking at your past. Those of you who are going through indescribable circumstances, when you see God and God sees you, lift up your heads and rejoice. The best is yet to be. Every battle you go through, every heartache you endure, every tear you shed makes the love of God richer and purer in your life. People will stop loving you. Husbands will abandon their wives, and wives will abandon their husbands without cause. Parents will abandon their children. Man's love will fail you, but the love of God will never fail you. God the Father loves you with an everlasting love. He will never give up on you. He will always be there when you call. He'll put His arms around you. He'll heal you. In the darkest night, He will whisper, I am with you. Be bold, be strong. I will never leave you nor forsake you to the ends of the earth. But the mark of Christianity is being to love the unlovable. That's the love of God. And you can't do that unless the love of God is in you. Love is not what you say. Love is what you do. You're not living until you discover the love of God. And when you find it, let it baptize you. Explode in your life. And it will bring to you a personal growth and development and spiritual prosperity you didn't know a human being could have.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, here we go. We're on instruction number 11, and we're looking at Romans Chapter 8, verse 1, 2, 5 through 8. That's what we want to take this instruction from. This is the instruction. We must follow the Spirit and not the flesh. As we read it, we want to see how Paul explains it. We must follow the Spirit and not the flesh. And this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, which is the flesh. And this is what verse 5 through 8 says. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters. Did you hear what Paul says? They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, so now let's go to our compliment, and our compliment is going to connect the dot. And it's the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 2. The book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 2, is going to give us the understanding of the spiritual attributes that we should be following. This is what Isaiah gave to the Israelites. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, and this is what he said. And the Spirit of the Lord God shall rest upon him. So the Holy Ghost, which we receive through Jesus, this is what rests upon us. And these are the attributes we receive because of it. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Those are the six. And there is a seventh, because Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 that there is a spirit of truth. And we know that spirit of truth is Jesus Christ. So that is connecting the dots, that following the spirit, you will be successful. Now, this is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives. It means that the spirit can only save. The flesh only kills you. And we can understand from the lesson so far that that is the truth that sets us free. God did not redeem the flesh, but God did, through his son Jesus Christ, redeem the spirit. Now we're going to move on to the next instruction. If you have any questions, get them to me. The next instruction, number 12, is going to be taken from Romans chapter 8 again. We're going to be reading from verse 19 through 23. And this is the instruction that we should glean from this text. The creature is delivered from the bondage of corruption. Now, this creature is body and soul. The creature is delivered from the bondage of corruption, meaning that both will not die. Now, this is what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 23. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creature, body and soul, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. God gave the commandment to Adam, and Adam would not respond correctly. So his hope was in the Messiah that would come, which he has to this day with us. Verse 21 says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, together until now. And that means until Jesus has come to release that, at least spiritually. And 23 says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And before we become born again Christians, listen, my brothers and sisters, before we become grown, born again Christians with the indwelling, we are subjected to the groaning that is identified by Paul in this verse. Now what we want to do is we want to go and connect it to the Old Testament and see what was told to the children of Israel. We want to go to Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14 and 15. This is what Isaiah told Israel concerning the situation that Israel was in because of the bondage of corruption. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 and 15 says this. It says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. And to substantiate this even more, quickly turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And this is how Isaiah concluded, or he continued. For unto us a child is born, after the break we'll continue.
Don't let the headlines frighten you. Yes, we're living at a crisis period, but God is with us in the midst of the grief. In the midst of the suffering, God is there. Oh God, we don't understand it all, but we believe you are the great and the mighty God. God, I believe, I trust in you, even if I don't understand. God still loves, and he loves with such an everlasting love that he gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you. And if it were not for that, there is no hope in the world. And those of us that follow him and serve him have a future that's brighter than tomorrow. It is our glorious task to give hope through the message of the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to bring peace in a broken world. No matter what God has in store for us and for our world, let us be found faithful. And someday we will know all the strife and the injustice and the pain that infect our world today is someday going to be over. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, here we go. Let us conclude with the creature is delivered from the bondage of corruption. I wanted to substantiate exactly what Isaiah was saying in chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, with what he says in chapter 9, verse 6. This is what he says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a child, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So what Isaiah has said is exactly what we're experiencing now. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is the one that has freed us from this bondage of corruption. And now what we want to do is look at this instruction and see what its meaning it is spiritually in our lives. This is what it means, that Jesus Christ is our only way out of this corruption. He is our way, our truth, our light, our life, our resurrection, our bread, our all in all is what is our meaning for this instruction. Now we'll go to the next instruction. It is instruction 13, and we're going to go back to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 29 through 39. Now the reason that this is going to be a long reading is because of the significance of the instruction. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 39. And this is what we're going to glean from this text. Predestination has its place in our lives. A lot of us think that we have free will. Now, remember we read earlier where Paul says, to will is with me, but how to do that which is good, I find not. We do not have absolute free will, my precious brothers and sisters. And this is what Paul says about predestination has its place in our lives. Beginning at verse 29, this is what chapter 8 says. For whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the first fruits among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So the stamp of approval had already been put on us from the beginning. Verse 31 says, What shall I say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely be given all things? Who shall lay anything against God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Now we're going to go to verse 35, and this is what it says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That is what predestination gives us, my precious brothers and sisters. But of course, predestination has prerequisites, and we will learn about that later on in other books of the Bible. Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? Let's go to verse 37. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that is because of he predestining us for victory. 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, my good brothers and sisters, you have to realize that this predestination has prerequisites. That's how you know that you are a part of this godliness. If you are born again and you are coming in and you have the indwelling, you're safe to assume that you have this predestination. Now what we want to do is to connect the dots. We want to go to the Old Testament and see what is said about this predestination in the Old Testament. We're going to go to Jeremiah the prophet. We're going to go to chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And this, my brothers and sisters, again, it may be hard to understand because of the way that Paul has delineated it in the book of Romans, but this is true. And this is how Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 and 4 and 5 puts it. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I had ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So this is specifically for Jeremiah, but this is our examples of the predestination that we're talking about in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 39. Okay, now this is what it means spiritually in our lives. That if we work our faith, meaning this belief in our destiny, we believe this, keeping God's commandments, that's the prerequisites, then we are guaranteed salvation. My precious brothers and sisters, let me read that for you again. This is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives. If we work our faith, which is impossible to please God without it, meaning that we have this belief in our destination that God is going to save us, keeping God's commandments, which is the prerequisite for it, then we are guaranteed salvation. Okay, let's go to the next instruction, and that is instruction number 14. We're going to go back to the book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 6 through 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 6 through 9, and we're going to see again how the predestination differentiates. This is the instruction that we're going to get from Romans chapter 9, verse 6 through 9. The instruction is, all Israel is not Israel. That is what Paul said in this text, because he was talking to the Israelites before he went to the Gentiles. All Israel is not Israel. And this is what Romans chapter 9, verse 6 through 9 says. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Did you hear that? They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Verse 7 says, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now we remember that Abraham is the father of many nations, more than just the nation of Israel. We know that Ishmael was Isaac's firstborn, and we're going to get to that in a minute. So this is what Paul is explaining to the Roman Jews. He says, verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of the promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah, who is Abraham's wife, shall have a son. And the promise of the seed went through Isaac and not through Ishmael. Now what we want to do is connect these dots and see what Paul is talking about, all are not Israel that are Israel. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 16, Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 and verse 4. Genesis chapter 16, and we're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to read verse 4. And this is what it says. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, and an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now we're going to go to verse 4. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. So Abraham went into Hagar, and she conceived a son. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Now we're looking at going into the break right now, so I don't want to get to any more details, but let's turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 25, verse 1 and 2, and we're going to get more of Abraham's lineage that is other than Israel. So when we come back from the break, we're going to read Genesis chapter 25, verse 1 and 2, and understand more fully that Abraham is the father of many nations, and he spawned not only Israel, but he also spawned Islam, and he also spawned another group that, after the break, we'll explain more.
Talking to people who have a vision and don't have the provision. I'm talking to millennials who are tired of sitting on their mama's couch. I'm talking to people who have bought into the myth that because you're 60-something, you're old.
Wow.
And you think your life is over because you got a retirement watch. And yet you are productive and you're bright and you are literally aging and getting stiff because you don't move.
Wow.
And I am telling you that you can be fruitful in every season of your life.
Yeah.
We have to have something that scares us.
Right.
Yeah. Your greatest miracle will always be in your scary place.
That's good.
God is going to do the greatest work in your life with your eyes peeled back like this. When the Wright brothers, of whom the book is metaphorically discussing,
yeah,
the audacity, two grown men with no degree in middle America standing on the ground to look up at an eagle in the heaven and say, I belong up there. Do you know how ridiculous it was? They didn't have the money, they didn't have the education, they didn't have the training. And they said, I belong up there. And they built a machine to reach their dream. That's what business is. A machine you build to reach your dream. Now, let's talk about the eagles for a minute, because the mother eagle, after sitting on eggs, protecting it with her life until they hatch, and going out and swimming and attacking prey and bringing back food until they grow, then turns around, the same beak that fed them and the same body that warms them takes them out to cliffs and throws them over the edge. It is not that she has turned against her children, but she knows that they will never find their wings in safety. The eaglet learns to fly by confronting its scary place. And it's not even trying to fly. It's falling and flapping and thinking mama is crazy. I'm calling Child Protective Services. I gotta get out of this. But in the process of falling and flapping and falling and flapping and falling and flapping and flapping and flapping and flapping,
come on,
and flapping and flapping and flapping. That's how you get your wings. Because fear releases my adrenaline glands.
Wow.
It makes me stronger than I would normally be. It makes me able to fight or flight based on what the situation is. Fear keeps me alive when I walk into a strange situation. It lets me know, be careful. All of my senses go on edge. My hearing perks up. My body tenses and prepares for battle. Fear is a favor God gives you. He didn't give you the spirit of fear, but he gave you fear to get your adrenaline going. Fear makes you study harder. Fear makes you work harder. Fear makes you pray harder. Fear makes you walk upright. When you know that there are so many people hoping you fall, fear will make you walk upright.
Wow.
Fear will make you withstand the test. You need healthy fear. Tonight, when you go home, you need to drop down on your knees and say, God, scare me again.
Come on.
Greatness festers in isolation and frustration. You only win if you don't quit. You only win if you don't quit. If you go through the dark place and the tough place and the scary place and the flapping and falling place, every great leader will be tested by pain. Nobody escapes.
Hey, Peter, we have a listener with a question. When the Bible refers to predestination, how do we know the difference between predestination and free will? In other words, how do we know when something happens in our life is a result of something we've done or a choice we've made, free will? Is it predestined an answer to prayer or a consequence from God?
That is a superlative question. I don't know if I could get to every point of it without rehearsing it or having it in front of me, which you just gave me, answer it this way, that we all physically can go to the left or go to the right. Remember, the flesh is condemned. It's a part of corruption. In that instance, we have free will. But spiritually, it has already been discerned by God whether you're going to go to the left or the right. You just haven't done it yet physically. If you can follow the logic of what I'm using, we are physical beings and spiritual beings. Now, there are prerequisites to predestination, all right? And that is what gets or keeps us confused. You have to be 1 year old before you can be 10 years old, okay? You're going to have to mature into it. So there are certain things that you must do. Prayer is part of the ingredient that we've been taught of faith to unleash or open up what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, we could speak on this more and more. I think that I should leave it at that, because we are both physical and we're both spiritual. The predestination is spiritual, and the will is physical. And of course, because of corruption, we cannot fully. That's why at the beginning when God said that he put cherubims and the swords in front of the tree of life. For if man would have drawn into the tree of life in his physical decrepit state, then he would have had free will, or he would have been dead both physically and spiritually. And of course, since we never did that, he didn't allow it. I can't elaborate on it because I don't know. But that's the best I can explain what Paul meant when he identified predestination in chapter 8, verse 19 through 23. If hopefully that's good enough for you. If not, send me an email and give me the question again, and I will give you more of what I understand about predestination and free will. Okay, Chris, that was kind of lengthy, but I'm hoping that that person, the listener, got something out of that.
They said thank
Any
you
more questions?
For the question. No, that was my question.
Okay, so let us continue with the study. Now, the heritage of Abraham, him being all in all. I can see we're almost at the end. Let's read Genesis chapter 25, verse 1 and 2. It says, then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. So Abraham had three wives, and she bare him Zimram and Joshin, Medam, Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. So again, those were not the seed of Isaac, so they did not come through as Israel. But Abraham gave that seed. So that gives more credence to what Abraham or Paul taught us in the instruction, all Israel is not Israel. And so that does end the lesson for tonight. And I'm thinking that we should do a quick review because this lesson was so deep. Now, one thing about Romans, and a lot of theologians consider Romans as one of the most critical books in the Bible to understand, because Paul was actually giving the instruction according to their intelligence. And in Rome, there was supposed to be the intelligentsia. So he gave them stern advice. So we started off with instruction number 9, which talked about sin and its dominion over us. We started with instruction number 8, when sin entered into us, it caused our death physically and spiritually. But we only are going to die physically and not spiritually if we have Jesus Christ in our lives. Now, instruction 9 says sin should not have any dominion over us. And you know that sin was covered by Jesus Christ. So the thing that has us in subjection is the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what we should keep in mind. That is what we want to control, the knowledge of good and evil. And instruction 10 says the workings of sin is our culprit. It's the workings, meaning the knowledge of good and evil, the evil workings of the flesh and spirit, that is the workings that causes us to be beset with sin or because of sin. But sin has been forgiven. Now, instruction number 11 tells us about following the spirit and not the flesh. That is what is one of our prerequisites to identify our predestination. We follow the spirit and not the flesh. That's one of the prerequisites. And then, of course, instruction 12 tells us about the bondage of corruption, how the creature is moaning and groaning. That is the flesh and the spirit. Without Jesus Christ, they both will moan and groan. And then we came into the predestination, and we know that the separation is between the physical and the spiritual, and it's the spirit that predestinates.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
Be prepared for us with us for next week. We'll get more into Romans and sin and predestination and the like.